Inspektor. Fryer und seine Freunde werden immer dann gerufen, wenn ein Fall aussichtslos erscheint.
Inspektor, einer für alle. Inspektor, komm und rette mich. Inspektor, SOS, ich falle. Inspektor, schnell, wir brauchen dich.
Hallo, willkommen zum der Mesa Patrol Podcast. Ich bin Kevin und mein Deutsch ist wirklich schlimm, so let's just talk in English from now on.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. My name is Henning and I will try to guide you through the German history and the fandom for tokusatsu, anime, manga, and so on.
Yeah, so Mazer Patrol, we tend to focus a lot on the American side of stuff because that's where I am based. But I think that there's a lot of value in kind of getting international fandom perspectives. And, you know, I try to follow up on the Japanese side a bunch. But Germany has a long, rich history of fandom of anime, manga, and tokusatsu. And Henning is one of the central figures in that whole oeuvre, so I figured this would be a rich and interesting opportunity to kind of go through and discuss what the German fan experience has been like for German otaku.
Yeah, and I am very honored to call you friend, Kevin, and for everyone else, after we concluded this session, you also can contact me via Facebook. I have no blog yet, but maybe in the future, and also maybe we, Kevin, you and me, or some other people can do this again or for other topics, whatever it the opportunity is given.
Sounds
for
good.
Me, I'm sorry, for me, you must know I am German, yes, and I am 35 years old, but I'm quite fluent in English because in my history I had to practice English a lot because the German media didn't allow me to get certain informations I always sought. And please note, I am no native speaker. I had never the opportunity to join some international fandoms until I got an internet connection. So if sometimes words gets struck or on the tip of my tongue, please have the respective understanding. I will try my best and drop every question you want. I will try to find an answer.
Cool. So I think we can kind of get started just talking about how we tend to go back to Godzilla because that's our bread and butter here. So how did the Godzilla series sort of come to Germany? Was it a similar track to the US or were things a little different?
Yeah, Godzilla itself, it was the 1954 version that reached Germany. In 1956, in the same year as in the United States, the Godzilla King of the Monsters with Raymond Burr was debuted. For Germany, it is not exactly known why the 54 version was chosen instead of the Raymond Burr version that was broadcasted also in neighboring countries like France or Italy, for example. It is only known that it was distributed into the northern part and the southern part by two different companies. And it was also a real success, despite it was censored or edited a tiny bit. The dubbing itself was very professional and it got its impact as well. Here, so to speak, that means the political message of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the heroic sacrifice of Dr. Serizawa was acknowledged as truly a thing that has been never seen before.
So was dubbing already a fairly common practice in the mid-50s?
Yeah, not only in the 50s. As much as I know, in movie business, all foreign movies were dubbed all the way since the audio format for movies did exist. For example, the 33 King Kong has a pre-war dub, but this pre-war dub is unfortunately still confined to some legal means that it cannot be published to home media. It is still available, but there are some legal means unknown to me, unfortunately, why this dub has not seen a release since ever. And so with a re-release in 1952, King Kong was redubbed, and this dub, which is the second one, got a home media release like on DVD.
Oh, that's interesting. So
yeah, and nobody. Yeah,
another lost piece of King Kong media in a way there.
Yeah, it absolutely. And as much as I know, this 1933 dub is extremely censored because the running time of a movie was heavily shortened. But as this movie never saw a secondary release, nobody really knows if there is some propaganda in it or not, because of because 1933 was unfortunately also the year where Adolf Hitler came to power, and it is said that King Kong was his favorite movie. I encounter this statement all the time, but I never saw any historical record or evidence that this statement is true.
Yeah, well, I mean, King Kong was probably a lot of people's favorite movies, so I won't hold that against it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess getting back to Godzilla, so the first version that came out there was a straight dub of the Japanese version.
Yeah.
Was the American edit released later?
Yeah, it was released in 2005 along the release of Godzilla Final Wars, and it was just subtitles, not dubbed. It was just included for completation's sake only. But if someone wants to get hands on the Godzilla 1954 release, which are now intact, I must warn you from a recent German release, because if you understand German and have for comparison the Criterion Blu-ray from the United States or the United Kingdom, will notice that the subtitles for the 1954 Godzilla are most of the time absolutely incorrectly translated. There are completely fairy tales, and this is some fact that not only bothers me, but also so many other fans, that we still ask ourselves what got into them, because these subs are completely lies, and nobody knows why. So if you ever want to watch 1954 Godzilla on a German DVD, it is the best solution to watch the dub, because this is more closer to the Japanese than the later releases, unfortunately.
That's bizarre. Usually when you have subtitles that are inaccurate to the original language, it's because they are just transcribing what's in the dub. So in this case,
yeah, that's true. And it's truly a completely strange history when it comes to this. And unfortunately, the responsible company, it exists still today, and it's a fairly big company, doesn't acknowledge their mistakes. It's even stranger.
So I guess after the original Godzilla, was it pretty continuous with the sort of follow-up tokusatsu films? Like what other titles came along after that?
Yeah, and when it comes to Godzilla alone, we got 2 years later with our version of Godzilla Raids Again. It was also the Japanese version. And subsequently, we got also Rodan, the H-Man, Battle in Outer Space. Did I miss a bit? Yeah, Mysterians. We got these movies as well. And for Rodan, for example, it is a strange curio because the version you can get on DVD is truly poor, but it must be it was re-released later in the late 70s that the current out-of-print DVD with Rodan is a spliced product of the Japanese version with some dub portions of the United States American dub, not the narration, but more the dub. And sometimes then the sentences from the Japanese version. So it's a kind of hybrid for Rodan.
Huh. Yeah, that sounds like a real Frankenstein project.
Yeah, you could call it this way. And for example, from the United States version, we see test footage of, for example, from the South Pacific atomic testings, and this is completely omitted in the German version, for only a single shot in the beginning, which lasts only 2 seconds at most, and this is everything. And for whatever reason, the completely music by Akira Ifukube for the German Rodan was omitted. Completely scrapped off, completely put off, whatever. It's not a silent movie, but in terms of music, it is silent. It's truly a hybrid. Yeah, for whatever reason. Or Frankenstein, if you prefer this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Frankenstein is a whole topic that we'll have to address here, because that's sort of the elephant in the room when it comes to the German releases of kaiju films.
Yeah.
So was Frankenstein Conquers the World like one of the first of that batch to come out, or was there another reason why so many of the subsequent films wound up with Frankenstein in the title?
Yeah, it's absolutely right. Frankenstein Conquers the World here and War of the Gargantuas here in Germany titled Frankenstein, Zweikampf der Giganten, retranslated into Frankenstein, Duel of the Giants. It was truly, really, really great success. And so the major distributor and purchaser of these movies, called Constantin Film, it is still acting today, but not anymore with Frankenstein titles.
They were involved with the Monster Hunter movie recently, right? Or was that a different Constantine?
No, because I never had the opportunity to watch it. I didn't know, but it must be the same company. It must be the same, because Constantine is, in my experience, always related to movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a really, really great success here. And the Constantine films, the company thought, yeah, because of the name... Frankenstein here itself relates to horror, to scare, and they just put it into it because the name of Godzilla itself became a little bit obscure, because the Japanese movies itself started with the release of Etragon in 1965, and Godzilla Returns first in 1967 with a German version of Invasion of Astro Monster. And then we had the Frankenstein Conquers the World and the War of Gargantuas and Son of Godzilla, Destroyer Monsters versus Hedorah, Gigan, Megalon, Mechagodzilla, and Terror of Mechagodzilla. So, and in between we had... Mothra vs. Godzilla from 64 and King Kong vs. Godzilla, for whatever reason, they skipped an entire decade. Nobody knows why. And yeah, that was, in short, the brief history of the Showa era.
So did those all go to cinemas, or were some of those...
Yeah, it was cinema releases, and with the invention of the Super 8 and the later Betamax and VHS, then first Godzilla came to home media, but we had exclusively theatrical releases before they went to home media.
So regarding those films, were there? I've heard that there are, you know, throwaway lines justifying why there's a Frankenstein in the title in some mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes they characters like Goro Maki, it's Akira Kubo's character in Son of Godzilla, there is an exclaim, "Oh, Frankenstein's monsters!" In reference to the Kamakuras. It's just an exclaim. It's mostly an exclaim and nothing more. For another example is for Destroy All Monsters, the general played by Yoshifumi Tajima says, "Oh, that's Frankenstein who is responsible behind all these." And in the Japanese version, he completely says something different, but sometimes it must be justified that the name Frankenstein has to be in the title. Or another example is in the background crowd in the disco of Godzilla vs. Hedorah, you hear a single exclaim that also say Frankenstein's David's monster, so Frankenstein's devil monsters, and so somehow this has to keep it in. And the same happened to Frankenstein Conquers the World as well, where some TV announcer says Frankenstein the Terror with the Ape Face, as our title is Frankenstein, der Schrecken mit dem Affengesicht. It's truly a little bit awkward, sure, but it is only one sentence, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm also a big fan of spaghetti westerns, and I've noticed how many Italian movies have for their German releases, they've put Django in the title.
It's the same phenomena. Nobody knows really why, but the original Django movie, as far as I know, have understanding, because I am no fan of this particular genre, but I know the original Django with Franco Nero was also a very successful film here. And for example, the very first collaboration movie between Bud Spencer and Terence Hill was so dubbed that the character of Terence Hill, who is in the original Italian version called Cat Stevens, was also here called Django before it was finally changed with the second part of the so-called Ace High trilogy. It's truly strange to hear the name Django all the time, even if it is not really Franco Nero in this case. And if I am not wrong, Franco Nero played the character only 2 times.
Yeah, that's correct.
Thank you.
that was an impressive info dump for somebody who claims to not be a fan of the genre.
So. Yeah, thank you.
So there's some more musical chairs with character names, most famously, I think, with King Kong being assigned many robots, right?
Oh, yeah. King Kong. That's another strange accusation. It is also not really, really known why they put Jet Jaguar aside, or Mechagodzilla, to put King Kong inside the German dubbing. It is truly awkward to listen to this. But it has probably something to do that the remake of King Kong was on the far, far horizon. And they said, "Oh, King Kong is coming back." And like the name of Frankenstein, King Kong remained in German public consciousness. So I probably think that they thought, let's rename this particular character into King Kong. And because nobody would know that Jet Jaguar or Mechagodzilla itself is named as such, but in case of Mechagodzilla for the Showa series, Terror of Mechagodzilla retains the name Mechagodzilla in the dub, and this makes it even more awkward.
So it's in Terror of Mechagodzilla, it's Mechagodzilla, but in Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, it's King Kong.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I think they only thought the invading aliens of the black hole are apes, and they think that their master creation were absolutely miracle of their technology, Mechagodzilla. Cannot be named Mechagodzilla, but King Kong, because it's the larger than life name for an ape. Whatever, I don't know.
That does make a bizarre sort of sense.
Yeah, absolutely, but this is only just my theory.
So a couple of the other kaiju franchises also had situations like that, because weren't a few of the Gamera films localized in Germany as well? And
yeah, and for the first part, although we now got all Gamera movies within the classical Showa era, we got also only War of the Monsters, that means Gamera versus Barugern. Then we had the Gamera versus Giaus, the first encounter, and Gamera versus Jaeger. These three only movies were distributed into German cinemas, but for Gamera versus Barugern, it happened for whatever reason. The name of Barugon was completely dropped altogether and replaced by Godzilla, and it became even more terrible. It was not only Godzilla in G-O-D-Z-I-L-L-A, it was in a kind of dialect or Mundart, as we know in German. Dialect, yet you can hear if you're around the city of Berlin, and it was truly to Godzilla. And this Godzilla also appears in the German dub only of Godzilla versus the Sea Monster, for whatever reason. Yeah, and back to Gamera. Gamera was renamed to Barugon, and the name Gamera was dropped altogether from the Gamera versus Barugon dub.
Oh, that's very confusing.
Yeah, it is kind of confusing, absolutely. But now I must say it's truly strange that also the very, very first cinematic title for Gamera versus Barugon here in Germany was Godzilla, the Dragon from the Jungle. For whatever reason, they thought, oh, we have a name, then let's title this movie from Japan Godzilla, even if it not Godzilla is participating and is from the Daiji company instead of Toho. It's so strange. And yeah, for Gamera vs. Giaus and Gamera vs. Jaeger, Gamera retained his name. But unfortunately, the Jaeger dub, the original German Jaeger dub, is lost to time, and nobody has found another movie copy yet. And so for the DVD release of Gamera vs. Jaeger, a completely new dub has to be made. But the dubs for the previously missed movies of the Showa era, some of these, especially Gamera vs. the Virus, has a magnificent German dub by one author named Bodo Traber, who recreated the language of the 60s. So, for example, computer is named Rechenmaschine. It's completely as it was dubbed since then.
Oh, that's an interesting throwback, I guess. A reconstruction would be how to think of that.
Yeah, it is a vocal reconstruction of a time. Yeah, but this is the case for the previously missed movies. And yeah, why other countries got neighbors like France or Poland got Gamera Super Monster relatively early, and we around 2012. Nobody knows. I guess that Gamera with the children was not really, really appealing to the German moviegoers.
Well, Super Monster is, that's a hard sell anyway, I think.
It's true, but I must say, for me, maybe I am the single exception on the entire planet, I like the female superheroes, especially the leading actress of Mac Fumiake. I don't know why, but she looks gorgeous.
I'm not gonna turn down any Gamera films. It definitely, I can I can understand why some of them would have a harder time than others finding distribution.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of Heisei, yeah, also Gamera Guardian of Universe was also a great success here, but it took some years until Legion and Iris got a release here, as well as Little Brave.
That's interesting, because that's similar to what happened in the U.S., that Gamera Guardian of the Universe got a U.S. theatrical run, and then it was a few years later that the whole trilogy got a home video release.
Yeah, it's therefore strange, because Gamera Guardian of Universe was broadcasted at a film festival called Fantasy Film Festival, and it was really applauded as well, like in the United States or in Japan, and every thought, yeah, Gamera with Legion and then Iris, and everyone thought, yeah, that would see a home media release soon after, but it never happened for part 2 and 3 of the Heisei, for whatever reason, until some years later. And so we got then a re-release, but it's truly strange history of media releases. For example, Dogora from Toho, on the other hand, still awaits his first home media release still. Hmm. It was only broadcasted in cinema, and then it vanished, for example.
That's interesting. I think that there's some cases like that, that it still seems to be, at least in the U.S., certain titles like the Human Vapor, for an example, have
a... Ah, yes, Human Vapor. It's a good example. A movie we never got here, and so you have to rely on not so legal means if you really watch the movie. Yeah, that's unfortunate, because the movie has... is so good, and like Matango, it still has found no release here at all, and we fans ask ourselves why, because was it too scary, was it too intense for the German viewership? Nobody really knows in these two cases. Yeah, and for the Heisei series, I can say that in 1985, the 84 Godzilla version was released here, so not Raymond Burr again. And despite that the movie was edited and later re-released with two dubs, so to speak, as a Frankenstein hybrid again, we got Biollante, King Ghidorah, and Mothra relatively fast. Before then, the releases were also stopped here because of the slow advent of Emmerich's movie.
Yeah, it was interesting because the UK also got up to Mothra before they stalled out. So I wonder if there is something similar going on the Toho licensing end for Mechagodzilla through Destroyer, or if it was just nonsense with Sony that was starting to hold things up.
Yeah, I can only say that the very first release of the Heisei Mechagodzilla Space Godzilla and Destroyer happened here in 2002, and this version is based on the Sony release, and so just English, if at all, and then a German dub was made, and the second release of these movies were still the same, but the extra material that was on the first release by Marketing Film was completely omitted by the second, probably also by licensing issues. And as far as I know, Toho has something against it, that some extras like various trailers or behind-the-scenes footage should be not contained on foreign DVDs and Blu-rays for whatever reason.
Yeah, that might be a reverse importation concern. Yeah. Germany and Japan are the same DVD region, but not the same Blu-ray region. Yeah, although, that's... you know, with PAL, I guess that's no longer as big of a concern as it used to be for conversion. Would have, in the VHS days, definitely been another hurdle, or even, you know, early DVD days in terms of one wouldn't necessarily play well on the other. So you could.
Yeah, that's true. And when we came to VHS, that was also a time. Godzilla vs. Hedorah, for example, just got only two DVD. Not DVD or VHS releases at all, and this is also strange because this is, for example, one of the Godzilla movies that got never ever a TV broadcast here. It is also just known for the lucky purchasers who just purchased in the past the Super 8 release or the VHS, on and then later a DVD.
So how much? Are there a number of titles that went straight to TV or straight to VHS?
Straight to TV first was the Rebirth of Mothra trilogy, actually, before it came to DVD. It was broadcasted on the channel of RTL2, which is also an important channel for the history of anime broadcasting here, to understand our history, so to speak. Yeah,
they're probably my favorite channel in Germany for miscellaneous cult films.
Yeah, I know, but here in Germany, RTL2 has dropped its anime schedules altogether, and it became only a channel for live soaps and something like this. But it used to be better, yes. Since I witnessed a lot of anime history here in Germany, I can only say we had a good time, yes, but it was completely declining to its death knell, unfortunately.
So I guess going back to Tokusatsu, there were there were a couple of TV shows that made it over back in the maybe in the 80s or so.
We can start already with 1971, because the Tsuburaya Productions responsible series Operation Mystery was also broadcasted here, but not for the entirety of 26 episodes, just 13. And unfortunately, the series caused a huge, very huge controversy, because angry parents, clerics, and so-called youth protectors said this series was too violent, too bloody, too exciting, and that even Nazi propaganda was transmitted within these programs. And the responsible channel dropped the series after, and since then, it was never rebroadcasted it before it was ultimately released just to DVD a few years ago. Here in Germany, we got two sets, where one set contains the dub only and the other dub minus one episode, just Japanese with subs. Yeah. And these controversies happened also to the Speed Racer incarnation of Mach Go Go Go, by the same channel, but here only around three episodes were just broadcasted. And then later in 1980, Captain Future and the Chinese historical fiction and real life mix of The Water Margin caused also controversies. Like I said, it was an experience. Children and teenagers said, "This isn't too violent," but they had no chance against the channels and their running managers and the parents and clerics and youth protectors who said, "No, this is violence, this is blood, this is exciting. No, 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 this cannot be happening because it is it is a no-no that should never be happen in TV." So, it was truly a time of controversy, and Germany developed since then a bit more, so that such controversies does not exist anymore on this scale. But it is truly unfortunate, because Japanese media got a kind of stigma, but on the other hand, series like Heidi, the Girl from the Alps, or the world masterpiece theater of various fairy tales or other localizations all entails, like the mysterious journey of Niels Holgersson or something, or the Maya the Bee or Vicky the Little Viking. All these were, of course, Western stories, but they were animated in Japan because the responsible channel ZDF, which exists today, went to Japan and said, yes, dear Japan, we have these stories, we want them animated, and we give you the money for it. So let's say it's a co-production, and once you're finished, please deliver the tapes to us so that we can broadcast them. So it's a little bit strange that the, I must say, the Fantastic Japan got a bad stigma, and the fairy tales were welcome with open arms, so to speak.
I didn't realize that the anime like Heidi were actually produced by ZDF, but that makes sense. So that's...
Yeah, it's no problem, Kevin. It was just making that the ZDF just put money into there, and then people like Isao Takahata and Hayao Miyazaki worked on this title. It was just that they went to Japan and said, yeah, please animate it for us, and this is everything. For mm-hmm. the old credits sequence of the Wiki, for example, I personally can recollect for the moment, there was truly the sentence, a co-production of Zuyu Animation and ZDF. This was the only I can remember where this sentence was, but for other series like Heidi or the World Masterpiece Theater entries here, I cannot recollect if it was if these words were present there. I cannot tell. And another anime I watched, it was actually the very first I did watch, Unico, based on the Osamu Tezuka manga, the first movie from 1981, was broadcasted by ZDF just one time, and I was lucky to watch it, but the time ever since, and I forgot the movie title, and I searched years and years what this movie was, because it was not the Rankin Bass The Last Unicorn, I know. And so I really searched before one day in one forum. Someone gave me an answer, and then I could finally track down the movie, how it was named, because I just had in my the sequence I only did struck in my mind, in my memory, was that the evil antagonist, the Baron the Ghost, or as he is called in German, Ungeist, was impaled on his own castle and transformed into a super, super giant kaiju like monster beast. And this sequence did struck into my head for so long before I finally found out the title and a respective DVD release, which unfortunately was also pulled from the market. But if you play the German DVD, you can see the credit sequence as it was broadcasted on TV. So the copyright ZDF is still contained on this single DVD release. It was never edited again. Wow, it's really interesting, only for the history of German, for Germany, sure, but it's awkward to see, oh, ZDF, why on a DVD? What happened? Usually this happens just for the TV broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've watched the Operation Mystery discs, and it's funny to me because it's of that time when I guess things weren't checked very well, so... Instead of Tsuburaya, they misread the kanji, and they keep referring to Entani Production. It cracks me up every time. So.
Okay, I have to check out the series as well, but thanks for your advice.
Yeah, it's I'm a little surprised that Operation Mystery was a title that they went with instead of something like Ultraman. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like Ultraman just has such an innate appeal to children, but maybe there was maybe the thought process was that there was all of this monster material that was mm-hmm. theaters that would be competing with it or something along those lines.
Yeah, maybe, but my theory is Germany has, for whatever reason, an obsession, a really obsession with crime scene series.
Yes.
And probably, yeah, we have, because Operation Mystery is also crime scene related in a way, probably this was the reason why it was purchased in the first place. I know that in Italy, Spain, and France, Ultraman was also broadcasted on the respective channels. But since it is a little bit violent, sure, and I think that in comparison, of course, Operation Mystery hit a nerve, and when they have seen with a scene with Ultraman slicing Boltan into two halves, then the controversy would have grown probably so big that never ever a Japanese title would have been released here. This is just my theory here, and that they thought, okay, it was unfortunate, it was an experience and an experiment that was never be redone, because Operation Mystery completely vanished into a kind of oblivion. Yeah, I know, the poon from Transformers the movie.
Yeah, I hadn't put that together, but there are parts of that show that give me a similar vibe to like Tatort or something. So.
Yeah, that's true. Tatort is truly running to this day, and there's no end in sight, among so many others. And I must really say, I wish there was more diversity. For example, another Japanese United States co-produced TV series, The Bionic Six. I really love the series, and I sure have some files of it, but an official DVD release with an English complete version, so the American English, of course, and the German dubbed version, that would be really a treat for me, because this series was just broadcasted three times. One premiere, and then two times where it was rightly broadcasted after it was finished, and then it also vanished without a trace, and this is truly, truly sad. That's... It doesn't help the diversity in German TV at all. That there are TV schedules that, in my opinion and in my view, are not really helping.
So I guess one thing that you have some expertise on is. There were some Kamen Rider compilation movies from the Taiwanese edits of Kamen Rider was made into movies mm-hmm. refilmed with Taiwanese actors.
Yeah.
And then those got ported to Germany.
Yeah.
And those are the only versions of those movies. The German dubs is all that remains, right?
As far as I know, online on YouTube, I may have seen some original language versions, but for the DVD releases, I only know that Frankenstein's Kung Fu Monster, this is the one where I participated with an audio commentary a little bit. This is the Taiwanese version of the Kamen Rider V3 versus Destron episode / movie edit version. I may can look it up which version has which because the preceding Infra-Man releases here in Germany, the latest one has a Mandarin audio option, but the other one, Krieg der Infras, this is, I think it was Super Rider in International English, was for the DVD release and VHS, of course, just the German one. And it is really strange why these Taiwanese edits got to Germany, like Super Robot MacBaron, which we got here as Roboter der Sterne, which translates as Robots of the Stars. And you can watch actually Roboter der Sterne on YouTube with official English subtitles provided by Amazon, but I must say, if you really understand German fluently, you will notice that the dub of Roboter der Sterne is complete insanity, because they had no dialogue script provided, and so they made sentences on block without end, completely in German slang, which can just be understand truly in German. I give one example. Mach sie fertig can be translated roughly as make them fat. And it's a complete idiosyncrasy. It adds only a psychopathic level to the movie. You will never experience for tokusatsu and Japanese entertainment, so to speak, and never more wild dub.
So how did those packages come about? And I guess, first of all, you know, as you just mentioned, one of them was retitled to sort of exploit Inframan. Was that distributed by the same distributor as Inframan, or was it a different?
That I have to look up. I have the information, but I had to really look up. Maybe we should make a follow-up or some notes for your later, when you concluded the session and when you posted it on your blog. Maybe we can add some sentences and after this, which movie was distributed by who. This is no problem.
Absolutely. That sounds this sort of thing I'll do.
Yeah, this would be truly the best, because I know I have a book where the information is present, but I cannot. I have it at handy a few centimeters away, but before I get to the respective page and so on, too much time would be wasted, unfortunately.
No worries. I think it's interesting that those handful of examples happened. Were there any other things like the Robots of the Stars or A War of the Emperors or Frankenstein's Kung Fu Monster, any other like compilation movies or Taiwanese kind of amalgamations that made it over?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay, so those were the ones of note. So there's not, I don't know, some other movie that we're missing on that list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can only say, even if you watch it in German, you can have entertainment with these dubs, of course, because they're truly wild, but for accuracy, don't watch them.
Yeah, I don't think that they should be viewed as any sort of replacement for the source material, but I think it's one of those things.
It's true, but it never happened that we got a really a Kamen Rider craze or an Ultraman craze or something like this. We never experienced it like this. I can only say, for whatever reason, the Toei Metal Hero series of Minspector was broadcasted here, and it received also three novel adaptations by Peter Manningen, if I recall correctly, but the series was so far never put on VHS or DVD or Blu-ray or Laserdisc even, and yeah, it's truly a forgotten gem, another forgotten gem, so to speak, yeah. And why, for whatever reason, Winspector was picked, I think it has to do that Winspector is more like a rescue hero series than a true metal hero series with kaiju content.
Yeah, I know that Winspector has had a couple other releases sort of around the world, but for it to be the sole representative in a country is interesting.
But
I know other parts of Europe where France was getting some Sentai shows and. There were a few that came to Italy here and there also.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of interesting to, even though the countries are close to each other, that, you know, the distribution is scattershot like that, language wise.
Yeah, and another example is for the Battle of the Planets version of Gatchaman. The Netherlands, directly our neighbor, got this series for, even if I recall, complete, but in Germany, Battle of the Planets even was never purchased and broadcasted. So if someone lucky, even if I live relatively close to the Netherlands, it's around 2.5 to 3 hours via car to get there. I never had any experience of a broadcast of Battle of the Planets. So I only got these informations when I browsed some certain web pages, and I was surprised. Battle of the Planets from in the Netherlands? This was truly a tiny, amazing discovery, because here in Germany, no one never ever thought about it or touching about this topic. And yeah, it's, as you said, distribution is, completely, how can I say it in as you said in English, like a scattershot, yeah.
I think it's interesting that they got Battle of the Planets and not Gatchaman itself. So I guess they the license went from Japan to the U.S. and then U.S. to the Netherlands. Germany got Voltron, right?
But yeah, not, that's true.
But
that's
not Golion. So there was a similar sort of situation then where... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Voltron was directly dubbed from the American English. Yes, that's true. It was also one of the many, many shows that got only one broadcast, and then it disappeared from TV altogether.
Yeah, it's one of the things I would notice sometimes when I would watch anime on TV in Germany, was that you would have either... cases where it seemed like they were adapting the U.S. version, or sometimes cases where they are taking elements from the U.S. version and elements from the Japanese version that aren't present in the U.S. version and sort of combining them.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, an example would be Digimon, where the names were changed to reflect the American names.
Yeah.
The music was kept from the Japanese version.
Absolutely right. I never watched Digimon probably as much as you probably did, but that's true. Because I also wondered why the music was so different when I clicked on several YouTube clips and that didn't match my personal memory.
And then much like parts of the, you know, some series would have completely original German openings and music, which are a bit of a cult following in them of themselves. When I think about, like, the German Dragon Ball or Sailor Moon openings.
Yeah, that's true. And catchy. I can remember personally the MTV. Yes, MTV broadcasts of several OVAs of Lupin the Third, split into TV episodes, and the Vision of Escaflowne, who got an own music for the openings. Yes, that's true. And they were never released on DVD with these particular music. And it's truly a bit regrettable, because this was the first contact I had, for my case, with Lupin in animation. I know Lupin prior, thanks to some Anime UK magazines, but I never had seen The Master Thief.
Hmm. So it seems like... Germany is on a relatively parallel track to the U.S. with a lot of the sort of anime boom that it sort of slowly started and built throughout the 1990s,
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, a few titles start trickling in, and then, you know, Pokemon hits and the floodgates are open.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, that's true. Germany in this case is more... In certain ways, like the United States, but on other levels, it's going its own way. And this way can be, for a fan, not very the best, because there are so many titles that got omitted or are forgotten to time. And it's not really that nice. I'm glad that, for example, we got all the Godzilla movies, all the Gamera movies, for example, sure. But then I wished we got a series, if possible, from Italy, like Mazinger Z, Great Mazinger, Grandizer Completely, for another United States Western example, Transformers, completely, the first iteration was completely messy because there was only first we had three comics in 1986, the year where I was born, and there was no actual TV broadcast here, so it was doomed to fail, obviously. And then with the beginning 1990s, Transformers was rebroadcasted, and then only a handful of episodes from the first and second season. The movie was delayed to 1994, and then around 1994 the so-called Generation 2 version of the original series was broadcasted, but there was also not everyone dubbed. Then later only from the Beast Wars series season 1 was broadcasted, 2 and 3 never. Then we had Beast Machines Completely. Then from the Unicorn trilogy, Armada was also the majority of the episodes never saw a German dub at all. Energon skipped completely again. Cybertron, only the first half. It's a completely mess.
So were those the Marvel comics that came out first then?
Yeah, exactly. That was the Marvel comics. The first from 1968 were the first four issues, where the third issue contained the last two of the original four from Marvel. And then there was a halt before, and then with the rise of the 1990s, Marvel, US and United Kingdom comics translations were broadcasted, but they were also cutted together in a completely wild order, and it was never concluded. And the franchise of Transformers here is, I must say, it has its fans as well, but the German history of it is not that very good. It is more filled with tears than with joy.
I see. Yeah, I can understand why it would be a harder sell. I think.
Yeah, it probably had.
Yeah. You know, it's mostly people that sort of grew up with the original Generation 1 stuff. Mm-hmm. Still is kind of, or there's a handful of people that came on with Beast Wars or something like that. But
yeah, that's true. And if we come to this, it is also strange that the toy line of the Shogun Warriors was also released here, but the word Warriors was completely omitted. It was named just Shogun, the Knights from Outer Space.
Huh.
And it was stipulated this way: these robots are coming from distant stars. So that. The thought of man-piloted mecha was probably for the German distribution completely out of this world, so to speak. And the same happened to the import of micronauts, where it was more marketed not as a battle franchise, but more as an exploration franchise. See Star Trek, for example. This is also very strange. Even if words like battle cruiser in English was used, and for general information, for whatever reason in German language, you can find so many English words because it sounds cool and it should evoke a cooler feeling. And therefore it causes sometimes a language mishmash, which sometimes creates for people like me who understand it a mess, because if you wear a t-shirt which says standing at the cliff, and standing at the cliff is not really an appropriate message that you should wear on your t-shirt.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting that, I guess, first of all, I had no idea that Shogun Warriors were distributed over there, but mm-hmm. but then also the outer space thing, it makes me think, like you were saying, with the Mach Baron compilation movie was, you know, Robots of the Stars, and I wonder
if it was probably the same. They maybe it was an unconscious thought. I don't know, because the company which distributed them here was probably also Mattel.
Mm-hmm. So was it the same same line as that came out in the U.S. or was?
I don't know. I just have seen a flyer online, and I probably have got one .jpg image, which only says Shogun, the Knights from Outer Space, and then there was a lineup of Great Mazinga some other characters, but I am out of my head. I cannot tell you which character was also shown there, but I do remember that... that there was a subtitle, The Knights from Outer Space, and for Micronauts, for example, they said UFOs did land. I cannot say more at the moment. If I can find more information, I am very pleased and honored to share them with you.
Sure, sure. I know, especially going back that far, that... you know, we're acting as historians here. This is a lot of stuff that we weren't actually around for. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I never have seen anything Microman related here in stores at all. I was lucky to obtain some Transformers Prime figures at all. The European card, of course, but still in for whatever reason, in France, Diaclon by Takara had produced also 4 or 5 model kits like Gunpla. And these model kits has also a German instruction on the package. But these kits were only distributed to the neighboring country, from a direct bordering country of Saarland in Germany, but for me here in Lower Saxony, they were never distributed. It's truly strange that they put the effort in a translation. Yeah, this is the Diaclon Diaguts, for example, and given a short history or a short explanation what this character is. But that it was never distributed Germany-wide in the 80s, for example, nobody knows.
That is very confusing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have heard cases where, you know, something is only given distribution, you know, for like Hawaii. But I think that mostly comes down to misunderstanding that a lot of cases you might wind up like, oh, they don't fully understand that Hawaii is part of the United States.
Yeah, so. You're probably referring to the English subtitled release of King Kong versus Godzilla, right?
Right.
Yeah, because otherwise, for a Germany example, if we return to King Kong versus Godzilla, we got the United States version with Michael Keefe, but then most of his scenes were again cut out, so that we got, in a weird way, another... Japanese version, so that we have only not in the beginning and we end Michael Keefe, and then with him, the major body of the movie, we have a Japanese story. It is not real. We have only one or two breaks with a scientist who says, Godzilla has a brain of Marvel size. You will probably remember better than me how the sentence is. And this is probably the only one. And then the other one was with a Japanese-American actor who stands beside a TV screen which shows the stock footage fire from the Mysterians, no?
So does that version still have all of the, you know, the stock music from like Creature from the Black Lagoon? And
yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, that's also true. For the majority of the film, some other scenes of explanation from the scientist and Michael Keefe for Godzilla and King Kong, they went out for. Yeah.
Well, maybe an editor just saw them and thought, eh, these scenes aren't that great or something. Yeah,
maybe.
I guess we can move along to talk a little bit about manga, because I noticed that here's my hypothesis. I think that manga was adopted a little bit faster in Germany compared to the U.S. because of the public transportation culture that's in Germany, that there's a lot of, you know, sort of little newsstands and places where you can sell comics, that in the U.S. it's a little bit harder. And in the U.S. you used to be able to buy comics in grocery stores. Now you can basically only buy them in comic book stores. And I think with a train system like you have in Japan, a lot of people are commuting on the train. They want something to read, and they just go and they pick up some comics to read along those lines. So I noticed, you know, I think it's a similar thing that a lot of manga started to pick up in the mid 90s in Germany, as was the case in the U.S.
That's true, because the very first manga we got here was just only volume one of Barefoot Gen, and it was unfortunately, despite all critical acclaim, a flop. And then, as you correctly said, with the beginning 1990s to the mid 1990s, there was the really beginning. And for example, the Dark Horse Godzilla comic, which got here a translation, but only the half of the original Dark Horse run from 1995 to 1996 were translated here, has an advertising in it for the Evangelion manga. So, and it was translated in conjunction with the Emmerich movie, but still, this was kind of the pioneering era, so to speak. Yeah, that's true.
One of the things that really appealed to me, a couple of things. I think first thing that I really collected in German was Dragon Ball, which came out in Germany before it came out in the States. But the volumes were very affordable. They were, I think, about 10 marks. And if you were to buy something like that in the U.S., it would be about $15, which is about three times as much. So,
yeah, that's true. The prices are always for a regular volume, like one of a Dragon Ball example. Yeah, it's around today's 5 to 6 euros in a standard. Of course, there can be some who are more expensive, depending on the publisher and on the edition or republication or whatever. But you can outside there is a reading example provided. Then you can get one for a euro only. But this is also a thing of the past, who just happened a few times only, around 5 euro you can buy a manga, and this is very, very fair and affordable. Yeah,
and I think there was sort of a template for that, because before that there were collections of like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck comics that were similar size and price point, that were a similar distribution model, which is ironically, you don't find those in the U.S., despite the fact that Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck are American characters. Those.
Yeah, this is also very strange. I am also no expert on this, but for whatever reason, we have in Germany also a really, like Japan, a kind of Disney craze. There are thick, very thick and abundant collections of Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse, of course. And it's truly, it still sells, and it's truly an active market here. And if I am not wrong, also in Italy, for example, they are also selling Disney-related characters as well, still to this day, with very, very good sale numbers.
So I think those factors kind of really helped helped manga take off a little easier in Germany than it did in the U.S. In the U.S., it was really coming to bookstores that did it, because, you know, in comic book stores, it was generally kind of I think people in comic book stores have other sets of priorities, and a lot of times, something that's as thick as a book was met with apprehension, especially because they were relatively expensive. And Germany had, I'm not sure if they're the first or the second edition of a foreign language edition of Shonen Jump. But there's a anthology called Banzai in Germany that was just a German edition of Shonen Jump. Obviously it wasn't simul published, but having that sort of anthology was ambitious, and it was one of the first attempts at doing so internationally. It was before Shonen Jump ever came to the U.S. and it might be the first, or maybe Taiwan's edition of Shonen Jump was before that, but it was definitely the first in the Western world to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, in my experience, the Banzai Anthology magazine was the first to do this in a more Japanese way. As you said, not truly to simultaneously publish it, but also to get a more Japanese feeling. Sure, there is an old anthology named Manga Power, and we have two different volumes. One who is relatively US comic sized, and which contained always in a chapter of three series. The one I have in my personal collection contains the English translation for the Hellhounds manga by Momoro Oshii, the ones you know from Jinro and so on. Then was the AD Police manga, and then there was Rumiko Takahashi's Ranma 1/2. And there was only 6 issues before it was cancelled, but it never... the impact of manga was already so big that other titles like Appleseed, Dominion Tank Police, Gunsmith Cats, Ghost in the Shell, and May, the Psychic Girl, got also publications, plus along Dragon Ball. And then with Dragon Ball, it exploded, so to speak, into a really great fascination.
Yeah, my experience with Manga Power was the second edition, and there were a lot of really good titles that were in that. I think a lot of them were Magazine Z titles in Japan. So
yeah,
Big O, Evangelion, Psychic Academy was in there. Chobits, I think. Yeah, Chobits was in there.
Yeah, Chobits, and don't forget to earn a Gundam.
Yes, yeah. So it was and again, really thick volumes, the size of a Japanese anthology for about $5 worth. So it was great value. And that was monthly for some amount of time. I was neither aware of when it started or when it ended, but I would kind of pick up, because I was not constantly living in Germany. I was kind of going back and forth a lot during my youth. So
no problem, Kevin. As long as you enjoyed it, it's the most best. But I forgot Cyborg Kuro-chan with a cyborg cat was also snitched in there. This insane manga.
And still several titles that were in anthologies like that. A lot of the big ones would eventually come to the States. I remember coming back from being in Germany one summer and telling all my friends, like, oh, there's this series One Piece, it's fantastic, I hope it gets released here someday. Yeah, little did I know that it would be the biggest title of all time. But
when it comes to One Piece, it was also interesting that this title, before it got the tankobon only release, that it was actually published a few chapters in Banzai before it was unfortunately concluded, but then soon after the regular tankobon release was made here, and this was also the premiere for me, so to speak, but within Germany. I don't know if it was 2002 or 2003, the manga in the tankobon format was then published. And also the TV anime was broadcasted on RTL2, and so I got into it completely right away. And until this day, I read One Piece, and sure, I know we are slowly going down to the finish line. It will take some years, but if you read the manga, you will know that the mangaka Eiichiro Oda has not only declared, but for the storyline, slowly but steady, the finishing line comes into view.
So has there been a shift for a lot more digital distribution of titles in Germany over the past, 10 years or so?
Hard to tell, but I never purchased any digital manga but I can look it up, but I think the still print market is strong enough here.
Yeah, I know that for the US, it's kind of easing more in that direction as of late. I mean, one of the things that Shonen Jump does, for an example, is we have a subscription service where mm-hmm. it's basically you pay $2 a month and then you can log in and read up to 100 chapters a day or something, and it's convenient. So that's one of the things that kind of the Netflix model. Mm-hmm. And I know that for anime, there are some streaming options in Germany, but they're very limited compared to sort of what's been made available in the US so far.
Yeah, that's true. And there, Netflix is the one who does the most when it comes to streaming services. But to digital manga, please allow me to ask you, do you know, for One Piece, for example, is this the regular black and white version or the Shueisha colored version?
Those are the black and white versions.
I see. Because Shueisha is publishing, until this day, a coloration of the entire manga by them and in cooperation with Eiichiro Oda. So you have also the full color options in Japan, at least.
Yeah, I know the full color Dragon Ball is available here, mm-hmm. but I haven't heard about the full color One Piece. So
no problem. Just could have been.
That. That sounds like the thing I'd be curious to check out.
Yeah, do it. I see. I prefer manga also in black and white. This is no problem. But I must say, this coloration is very well done because in comparison to the anime, there is no decline in quality. In my eyes only. If there's someone who says no, this is not the coloration is not so good, or there's something better than the other. No problem. It's just me.
So I guess next thing we can kind of talk about is some of the fandom culture and how that has evolved in Germany. It sounds like there were a couple of gaps where there weren't a whole lot of titles being released. So how did was it a similar deal where you had sort of like fanzines at the beginning and organizing into small groups and then conventions and so on and so forth?
Yeah. If someone wants to know how fan magazines had been treated here, we got a few. Unfortunately, I don't have all of them because they were just distributed by mouth propaganda only in the first place. And yeah, since there are not official publications, so to speak, it's difficult to come them by. And unfortunately, no one is active anymore outside the Animania. But for Godzilla and other monster-related topics, we got from 1998 to 1999, 9 issues of a magazine that was named Godzilla Family before, and then in 1998 to 1998 we had 10 issues of a so-called Godzilla fanzine, and from 1996 to 2018 we got Pranke means claw, which is also a continuation. A sequel magazine of the first Godzilla Family. These three magazine runs were mostly translations from English, magazines like G-Fan, Japanese Fantasy Film Journal, Japanese Giants, and so on and so forth. And yeah, they were truly, really, really well made, in my opinion, for the day it was made there. But yeah, it was they were unfortunately concluded for private reasons. I know from the Pranker magazine, the responsible editor, a tiny, tiny, tiny bit, but since he has some also private life, I think this is the reason why he, since 2018, never published a 42 issue of Pranker. But there's another, a fourth magazine, but this lasted only one issue, and this was the Asian Cinemagic, similar to the Asian Trash Cinema magazine from, who was it? Was this Damon Foster? No, Damon Foster was Oriental Cinema, excuse me. Yeah, but somehow similar to the Asian Trash Cinema. And since 1994, we have the Animania when it comes to anime and manga. Sure, there was also manga scene, but the Animania is still running. But in my personal opinion, the first run of Animania from 1994 to around 2002 was the best era to them, because they had a huge diversity of topics. And since 2003 or so, the past anime were more or less neglected, and this is where I think not the best way to treat the medium here, because ignorance is not helping anyone.
That's I think that that's a common problem that you see with a lot of the magazines, is they want to go after the most recent titles, because those are the ones that the widest swath of fans might potentially be interested in, but because of that, they sort of wind up neglecting other titles and other topics that they could be discussing. So it turns absolutely into sort of a set of reviews of the things that came out when the magazine was being written.
Yeah, absolutely. For example, the very, very first zero issue of the Animania covered Guyver. I must look it up again, but I think it was the Guyver Out of Control OBA from 1986. And this one, for example, got never released here. Mm-hmm. And this is something really, in my opinion, this is an anime. It isn't released here, but you got a report on it, and so you could try somehow to imagine how to get it, or at least to play your own mind-related fantasy, how it could be if there's just a story summary or description. Today's Animania, for example, is just covering, as you said, recent titles in Japan and in Germany, or also in the United States. But for the past, it's kind of sad. I also can talk about conventions a little bit here. The very first convention with just a handful of people happened first in 2002, before it moved to Hamburg in the years 2003 and 4. Within the city of Bremen, one little meeting also was held in 2005. But then first in 2017, the conventions again were organized, and until 2019, within the tiny town of Uelzen, there was the so-called KaijuCon. The KaijuCon in Uelzen is organized by Detlef Klaus. Maybe you know the name Detlef Klaus because he is a huge, very huge on poster collectors. And he has also published two books about posters, one especially about the German ones, which you could have read in a past G-Fan magazine, which was reviewed by Steve Agin and his toys. Detlef is is like Mr. Sean Linkenbach, who is also an international poster and cinematic material collector. And Detlef, I personally know him, and I treat him also as one of my friends, not as a close friend, but as a friend and honorary mentor, so to speak. I must really say, this guy is truly amazing when it comes to collection and knowledge about posters and so on. You can ask him something about formats or printing history and something, and he knows it. It's truly great, and that Detlef Klaus finally said, yeah, we must have a Kaiju convention here in Germany again, was truly the best solution ever. The reason why there was a huge gap between 2005 and 2017. Yeah, as every fandom, there can be high and difficult describable emotions between people, and as far as I know, some emotions like these happened, and so it happened that the fan scene, so to speak, went dark for these times in a way. But now it is so that COVID-19 prevents so far any more meetings in public, like in the United States and around the globe.
Well, hopefully it bounces back without too much concern there. I did see that there's a documentary about is the documentary about the convention or fandom in general in Germany. It's coming out soon.
The one Andreas Eller and Olaf Peter are making is about the fans. There was also another one, but this was ultimately cancelled. But if you speak of documentaries, Mr. Jörg Buttegereit, which you could also probably know in the United States, also made in his youth tribute to Godzilla named Gazzorra, the beast from the Earth's interior. And also two documentaries, one in 2002 named Monster Island and another one in 2008 named Monster Land, where especially Monster Island is about Japan and Kaiju, while Monster Land from 2008 is not only Godzilla, but also werewolves, vampires from the West and so on. Yeah, and even if Jörg also published articles and also books and so on, he is more a director of movies like Der Todesking and so on. That means slasher gore movies, but he's still, of course, a Godzilla fan. And like Detlef Klaus, I do respect him also very, very much for what he has done, sure. But I cannot stress enough, they are not the only fans in Germany. You can find so many other people. Even we are only around 1,000 people. Yes, our fandom is around 1,000 people only. But you can find so many great characters and persons there who are so kind and understanding. It's like having a family without even knowing it.
Yeah, I think that Jörg is high visibility, both from his filmography, that it's, you know, stands on its own, and then also that he has been to G-Fest a couple of times and filmed parts of his documentary at G-Fest, and I think he's more known to the American community because of that. He's a very good public speaker as well. Yeah, I've only interacted with him briefly, but it was very nice when we did so.
Yeah, it's truly nice. I also interacted with Jörg Buttegereit, but also not counting Facebook, for a brief time when I purchased from him in the day back when I got internet. It was probably when I had internet access for a year or two at maximum, where I looked into eBay. And then just entered Godzilla or Godzilla fan magazine or something like this. And I spotted a seller from Berlin who sold the free issue run of Markerlite, the old magazine, which was published by the Pacific Rim Publishing Company. And I just bought it. And then to my surprise, it was Jörg Bodgereit who saw them, and I was completely caught off guard. I then never thought that Jörg Bodgereit is selling me his magazines. Amazing. He never gave an autograph to me because I never asked for one, but it was it's still a great experience. I really must say, Jörg, thank you very much for it, because I hold these magazines very, very dear. Not only because of the original United States-based office since then, but also that I could purchase it from a guy who also is responsible for the development of a German fandom as well.
So I've seen Gazora, and it's fun and impressive.
Yeah.
Little spoof. Are there other sort of efforts in like the fan film community to do things like that, or
there was an attempt, and you can watch only the 10 or so first minutes of Kongula, Ape of Terror. Unfortunately, this was going to be a full-time movie, but for whatever reason, probably financial issues and time and efforts and so on, it never came past the 10 minutes mark. And it is, as far as I know, really unfinished footage. And nobody ever attempted to conclude the project. Another one that was really, really in a long time in development was Gualagon. It was originally going to be a movie, but now it is only available as an audio drama, which you can purchase on Amazon as digital MP3 files for around 15 euros or so. I must purchase it myself. And besides the fan magazines, this is the only effort that is being made as a really mass media project, so to speak. But I can say, for example, one of my dearest friends from the Eastern Germany city of Leipzig named Marius, I got J.D. Lees from G-Fan to publish some of his artworks. He also designed our KaijuCon banner, which is over 4 to 5 meters in size, and he, since Marius is a huge and very well-crafted artist as well, he designed this banner, and then it was printed, and since then we can use it as our personally logo, and it is a huge tribute to our not our but to Kaiju in general. And if you see this and he or his art in general, you feel this guy has the power, and I can only applaud to him that I can also say, Marius, thank you for being also one of my closest friends. And if it comes to media in general, another one who also got a little bit more famous than me when it comes to newspaper articles is the so-called no-budget nerd, Michi Gofsky. You should check out his stop-motion animations he has been made ever since. He is not only just a nice guy all the time, but he makes his stop motion films. Like, I interviewed him on one of the latest GFan issues just with his cell phone. That's amazing.
I'm all for supporting these types of endeavors. German cinema is frequently frustrating for me because it feels like it's got a lot of angst a lot of the time. So seeing mm-hmm. going towards these more sort of genre fairs, I'm always happy about, as opposed to the, you know, the historical dramas or the cop dramas or something like that. It seems to.
So. Yeah, it would be nice if cinema would be really going a little bit back, I say, but unless you have a private cinema or something, you have absolutely no chance to see a Japanese movie or a Kaiju Eiga again on the big screen. That's it's like in the United States, you have almost just chains of cinema, and unfortunately, thanks to COVID-19, Godzilla vs. Kong was at this time not even broadcasted into cinema yet. And yeah, we probably will witness the movie first with the advent of the official DVD and Blu-ray release.
Yeah, well, time will tell on that front. I think we've got a big backlog of blockbusters that are gonna all be sort of competing, but it'll be a little bit of a while before Germany is able to get properly vaccinated and stuff to allow for that. So who knows what as the rest of the world is kind of continuing to crank out entertainment, they won't necessarily hold up. But you know, maybe once things are opened up again, they'll say, okay, well, let's let it roll with everything that's come out in the time since. But
yeah, absolutely.
So what are the kaiju cons like? Is it a similar gathering with panels and costumes and guests, etc., or what, how do those tend to go down?
Yeah, we have panels, and I am also one of the frequent ones who always appears with at least one or two panels from, I must say so myself, and I'm proud of it every time that I can do so. Star guests like Jörg Buttgereit, for example, unfortunately are not really coming, and it's just panels and a presentation of art or posters by Detlef Klaus, or artworks by Marius, or like I said, the stop motion movies by Michigowski, which we can see. Then it is mostly that we are setting it down, and then we are talking in groups around tables, and then we eat. We have pauses where we can go a little bit outside the little respective place, and so on. It is complete because most of the fans are not convinced yet to drive to another location, unfortunately. Sure. Yeah, because of the distances, there can be quite huge a bit. But for one example, another friend of mine who lives in Bavaria, in the city of Ingolstadt, see Frankenstein again, also travels the whole way from Ingolstadt to Uelzen. And it is a little bit strange that if the majority of the people are so hesitant about it, I cannot explain it myself, but yeah, it is so. Also, costume making is not, or as I must say, it hasn't appeared yet. If someone will ever do it, it would be amazing, but so far it didn't happen. And I can say, for comparison, it is truly still a little meeting, but it's still amazing because you meet people who are very kind, you are open, you can talk to each other, and you have a feeling you know these people for years and years, and even it defies the reality that you met them for the first time, or you met them in person for the first meeting happened 3 years ago or something like this, and you still feel familiar. It's really nice. Also, it's really, really, really nice. And another treat we are trying to enjoy always is going to a cinema and watching a movie. The first one we did watch in Uelzen in 2017 was not in cinema itself, but merely at the place where we gathered. It was the German dub of Shin Godzilla before the official DVD and Blu-ray release. And then in 2019, we went all to a cinema and watched the legendary Godzilla King of the Monsters. That was also quite a very amazing experience. Sure, it was the second time I watched Godzilla King of the Monsters on a big screen, because earlier that year, 2019, I was with several other friends in Berlin to watch it on the really, really big screen. But it still was an experience to watch a movie like this with other people every time.
Yeah, I think that that is getting at the core of what conventions should really be about. And I think sometimes when they get too large, they can be very anonymous and you don't feel like you're really knowing anybody. So you're kind of getting in to buy stuff and then leave or something. And that's...
Yeah, you made a good point. So far, selling stuff is also present, yes. So if there are not professional sellers, also private sellers who has too much or want to sell stuff from their collection is also present every time, yeah.
Yeah, I have noticed that there's a handful here and there of dedicated anime store type of places in Germany. The one I would always go to in Munich was Neo Tokyo, but I've encountered a few others here and there, and I'm blanking on exactly where each one of those were, because you know on trips we've gone around quite a bit. But I appreciate that, you know, it is a phenomenon that there tend to be these local places that have, you know, figures and merchandise and posters. And I think it used to be that they would sell a lot of DVDs at these places, and they tend to have decreased on that front. But I don't know if those types of establishments are continuing to thrive, or if, you know, with the internet, they're kind of going away a little bit.
Yeah, I can only say, for example, there's another store I personally visited only two times. Was the J Store. The J Store is a tiny, tiny chain. It has its bases in Berlin and in Hamburg. And I was only one time in Berlin and two times in Hamburg. It's also covering more of German translated manga and anime, but for Hamburg, for example, you had a tiny, tiny kaiju corner, which is selling figures online and in real. If a shop is open, it is momentarily closed, you can only order via telephone and email. But it's truly nice to see such stores. And when it comes to DVD stores, sure, you can, if COVID-19 is over or at least controllable, you have a regular supermarket where you can, of course, purchase movies. But special DVD and movie stores are in Germany also a rarity. And unfortunately, one of my closest cities here in the city of Oldenburg, there was until I believe it was 2011 or so, there was a tiny, tiny movie related shop which is sold only DVDs, Blu-rays, movie statues of every and all kinds, and also multi-region players and so on and so forth. And this was truly a nice little shop, but unfortunately the owner had to close its doors, and then you have to rely, at least in my corner, on the internet to get some special editions, like of Story of Ricky, for example.
Right. Yeah, I will say that, you know, my last trip to Germany was a couple of years ago, but even then I was impressed that there was the equivalent of a Best Buy store, you know, a general electronics store that had a fair number of DVDs in stock, whereas in the U.S. those are kind of becoming less common, is that they tend to focus more on selling televisions, and then the idea is that you stream everything. I was able to go in there, and there were titles that I would not have expected just on the shelf there, like the Next Generation Pat Labor, and I picked up Shinpei Hayashiya's Rego movie there, which is now available at Walmart here, but at the time was not distributed in the U.S. yet.
Yeah, I believe you. It's truly a miracle and really a strange occasion that a sensation that Shinpei Hayashiya's movies Rego and Rega made it here. It's truly a miracle. I don't even know how it even happened at all. They were popped up sometimes, and I thought, what? What's this? Because there was virtually no real advertising for them, even in movie magazines, at least to my own knowledge. And if it was, then I never picked up the correct magazine.
And I know a lot of Japanese horror is still well represented in the German market with Midori Impulse putting out a whole
books. Yeah, as far as I know, Midori Impulse is putting a lot on the market, as far as I know, sure, but there, at least to my knowledge, are not really in public. So you have to order them online most of the time. But for me, sure, I have to purchase, for example, their Meatball Machine Kodoku and New Neighbor DVD, which contains the Norman England film The Idol, which I have to check out absolutely. And so I can only say that if such a movie was in on a display in a public shop, then I would take it with me. But I encountered it only in one single occasion, and this was with the first Meatball Machine, and it was only this single copy of a German release of a Meatball Machine in a steel, really steel metal case. And I thought, why? What? And I picked it immediately before someone else could purchase it. It was probably a mistake, because such a movie is, in my experience, never on a public display.
Yeah. Well, I know also there's the they tend to, everything is very strictly rated, so the front of the box has a big sticker that says, you know, for ages 12, ages 16, ages 18, and usually the movies that are ages 18 are kept separate from the other ones. So.
Yes, absolutely right. And that happened, this new age verification logos happened, unfortunately, to an Amok run in an in a higher school a few years back in the city of Erfurt, which also caused a media controversy after it was found out that the hitman did play certain video games and watched certain movies, and then the age verification system was therefore changed that the front side of a cover of a DVD and Blu-ray must have a giant age verification sign that this is for example adults only. And since then we have found a solution that these covers can be switched, that you have the same cover or a different one, but without the giant age verification sign on top. And but in the beginning it was not very nice, because the discussion here was a little bit, in my opinion, too heated to differentiate fiction and reality. And it was such an amok run is always such a terrible action. But how can I say it, the movie makers or so didn't want to encourage such things, but unfortunately things like these happen. I cannot explain it even in German, so please apologize that I have no proper words in either language for this. Yeah.
No, I am totally with you there.
Thank you.
I'm glad that they have, you know, broadly adopted the reversible covers, so that you can kind of at least not have to deal with looking at the big colored block on the front.
Yeah, I unfortunately have some who are not changeable. One extremely cheap and the only DVD release of a second Star Wolf movie has one which you can't switch. And this is also has a never interesting story. For whatever reason, the Star Wolf compilation movies by Sandy Frank were dubbed into German, yes. But for the only part two got a DVD release. And this was based on the Sandy Frank release, it was from the English version. For the DVD, another little scene was not omitted that was only contained on the film roll itself, which said, please change the film roll now. And within this German release, for a single or at least 3 seconds, you can read these before the movie continues and you are scratching your head and wonder, what was this? It was, for some reason, whatever, never edited out. And the quality of the picture is so as if you are going into a constant fog. It's barely unwatchable, but it's quite an experience.
Yeah, that's Fugitive Alien, I think, is the title.
Yeah, absolutely, Fugitive Alien. Absolutely, yeah. Star Wolf. Yeah, I only know it by the name of Star Wolf.
Yeah. And that's one that I think if you want to get in the U.S., you have to go to the Mystery Science Theater version.
Yeah, that's true. I know that in the United Kingdom had a limited release, and I have both of them, but I didn't watch them if, for example, for part two, this sign of please change the movie role is also contained in there. If it's contained also there, then we know that the error was first present in the United Kingdom, but I have to check out.
Yeah, speaking of Mystery Science Theater, I know at least for the movie, there is like a German dub that is a completely, as German comedians that are coming up with their own jokes for the riffs.
Yeah,
which is an interesting phenomenon. I don't know how much that's been replicated elsewhere.
I can tell you that we have an equivalent to Mystery Science Theater that is called Schläferz. It's an abbreviation for Die schlechtesten Filme aller Zeiten, in English, Worst Movies of All Time. And this is a series constantly running for over 5 years now. It is made by the comedians Oliver Kalkofe and Peter Rütten, who are spoofing also a movie similar to the Mystery Science Theater, which are giving riffs during... the movie is broadcasted and you have a subtitle bar, which sometimes gives riffs, and then is a commercial break. And before the movie continues, they have a break back into the studio with Kalkofe and Rütten, who are then analyzing what they have seen so far. And therefore, you have an introduction, these inner sequences, and then you have an epilogue where they analyze the movie, why this was so bad now. And it's obviously comedy, and they have broadcasted so many movies, and if it comes to Japanese entries, or at least to our common interest, we had King Kong vs. Godzilla, for whatever reason. Then we had, we already mentioned, Robot of the Stars, and then we had Space Amoeba, a monster from space. These are the three entries from Japan, or at least in our reign of common interests, who had been parodied by these guys. And I must say, for King Kong vs. Godzilla, it was a more lovely riff, so to speak. Yok as well. Robot of the Stars, of course, because of insanity, it tried to replicate it and it could only fail. And all the other movies, be it from Italy or the United States or Spain or even Germany and so on, you cannot believe it. And the best thing was, for a completely different franchise, the Asylum franchise of Sharknado. Because in part three, the hosts of this Schläferz, Peter Rütten and Kalkofe, got the permission to go to the set of Sharknado 3, and they're within the movie for a tiny sequence. So they're kind of slipped undercover into their own movie presentation and so on. It's quite funny, but since this is their only participation in an actual movie was only for this in part three, not any then not more in part 4, 5, and 6. Too bad, but I must say, if you watch Schläferz, I did a pause for over a year now because it's always the same. Sometimes it gets boring, but I must say, riffs like Battlefield Earth, you know, the John Travolta movie, that was so funny, or the presentation for Sharknado 5, where the world truly ends, so to speak, and they also replicate a world-ending scenario into their studio, and everything shakes, and it was so funny. It's incredible, even if I truly say for The Asylum, they have so many great ideas, but somehow, either it is the German dub or the movies itself, the ideas is great, but the execution of all is not that good. Ah, I forgot to mention the Atomic Jaws, which was titled in Japan with Shin Jaws, which right. has some exploding guy. That was also funny.
I'm gonna have to look for some of those. I don't know how easy they'll be to track down on the internet, but yeah.
It's through the internet. A few are available, but only a handful because of copyright. Right. The only ones you can officially purchase are the 6 Sharknado movies and the two of Hentai Kamen, actually.
That's another one that has not gotten a U.S. release that I'm sort of surprised by.
Yeah, I must say, Hentai Kamen, the presentation itself, the riffs didn't entertain me so much. I was more entertained by the movies itself, but the riffs here didn't got me so much as in other for other movies. So, but
well, Hentai Kamen, right?
What?
It's difficult to riff something when it's already a comedy. Like it's...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And there's another movie, two-parter, which is named Zumuro. That's a kind of a super, not direct, about a super villain a la James Bond, only this is a woman who wants to control the world, something like this. I believe that was a Spain's Italian co-production, but I'm really not sure about this. And this is everything that got released on DVD. And other ones are just available online, but only a handful because of the respective copyright holders that I say that said, yeah, you can spoof it, but only for one time only.
Sure, sure.
And of course, you have to be a bit fluent in German to understand some gags, because yeah, it's like in English. If you don't know certain jokes or dialects and something, the joke can go past you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess what are your looking towards the future? Are there things that you're hoping come to Germany from Japan that still haven't yet, or
yeah, that's true. That's a good question. In a few today is the 1st of May. In around 20 days or so, the second part of a Polygon Godzilla movie trilogy gets finally released here on DVD and Blu-ray, and then in June we have also the third movie. But then other these releases and Godzilla vs. Kong, I must say it's a little bit dark, because I would like to see more releases from Japan. For example, Brave Storm was long announced and nothing came ever up. For whatever reason, even I talked with one guy who said that he talked with another guy who was trying to purchase it, and he said, "Yes, I got the right, I got everything right," and having and so far nothing happened to a German release of Bravestorm, and yeah, I must say for the moment it's a little bit more dark, especially since for another title it is what is never released here, but you could watch it on or can watch it on Netflix, are The Knights of Sidonia, which is strange. You got in Japan, United States, United Kingdom, and so on, a DVD release, but here you could watch it on Netflix, but you never got a DVD release here. The same happened to the Devilman versus Cyborg 009 crossover. You could watch it here, but you had have no options to purchase it as an official disc.
Yeah, that one's also not available on disc here. It's maybe because it's an OVA, they're a little concerned that it's they prefer to sell things if they're full TV series or something like that. It seems like something that we have a company here, Discotech, that's very into that sort of material. So it seems like the sort of thing that they would have jumped on if they had the option to do so. But maybe the price was too high.
Yeah, that's true. For other examples, so, for me, I am mostly had to rely. Even if you have superb German releases here from depending on the title, I must have to import certain titles. But unfortunately, when a series like Mega Beast Investigator Jaspion got a release, it was just Blu-ray only. And since I have no means to play a foreign Blu-ray, only DVD, it's a bit sad that I have no option to say, yeah, I know that you are concentrating on Blu-ray, but is there no other option to get that I can at least import a legal DVD release with subtitles? This is a bit unfortunate for me personally, because my money is not so much at the moment that I can purchase a multi-region Blu-ray player.
Yeah, I was very much in the same boat. I just this year, a couple months ago, got my first multi-region Blu-ray player, and it's fantastic because now I'm able to, you know, get some of those Eureka discs or third window films and things like that. And I'm gonna have to look through the through the archive of German titles that I haven't picked up and see what I might be missing out on.
When we speak of these, and do you have any of the Anolis releases?
I do not.
Then you're really in a regrettable position, because these are always long sold out, and they are the best of the best they can really happen, because they are reconstructed and restored to a completely insane level. Is the DVD releases of the so-called Kaiju Classics are truly gems, and I must say you can spot sometimes insane prices, like for Son of Godzilla, for over 1,000 euros. I know, this is insane. Some people think, yeah, I get the money somehow. And you have to usually you had to pay around 40 euros for two or one disc. For the picture quality, for the accurate subtitles, and you know, this is worth it, because the guys and the company of Anolis knows how to treat fans with a really experience, because they put on the Japanese version and the German version, and as I said, with truly accurate subtitles and a really good booklet always, and audio commentary by other people. It's truly worth it, but the problem is, since they are always limited to around 1,000 pieces, it's not easy to come by nowadays, because as far as I know, no further installment for these Kaiju Classics is currently being made. As we speak, 2 days ago saw the Blu-ray premiere of Gamera vs. Barugon, where I made an audio commentary, but unfortunately it was not the company of Anolis who made this. It was a competing company, and for whatever reason they wrote my last name completely wrong. Instead of a so-called German SZ, which would be in international English a double S, they switched to a tiny B. So I'm not Henning Strauss anymore. No, I'm Henning Straub. No. And this is so stupid, because if you look at the menu, if you put the disc into the player, you see my name correctly written. And if you listen to my German audio commentary there, you also notice, this is strange. Why is the cover writing a completely different name? It's a little bit embarrassing and a little bit bothersome, because if they had difficulties, they could have asked, like with my tiny commentary to Frankenstein's Kung Fu Monster, can we use NSS for an alternative? And I would have said yes, because that would be applicable.
I mean, I know that they have been trying to phase out the asset on a lot of public signs and things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if it's possible, maybe this was somebody that German wasn't their first language or something, and they just weren't familiar with it. Or
no, who knows? Nobody outside the responsible company knows it. And sure, it is only one tiny thing, but it still is a bit strange, because they could have really asked me. It wouldn't have cost the world, so to speak, to drop an email and to ask, dear Henning, can we use SS instead of SZ? And it would have been not, wouldn't have been just okay when I've said, yes, please do.
Yeah, that's, it's got to be frustrating for someone to get your name wrong.
Yeah, it is no problem at all for my English readers, but for German, it's kind of embarrassing.
Right, yeah. Well, congrats on getting that new commentary out, I guess.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really hope that I can do this again and again, also for other movies, and hopefully maybe re-releases that I didn't got a treatment by the Anolis releases. But this depends not on Anolis, this depends on Toho.
Yeah, which considering what I've heard about Toho and their interactions with foreign distributors as of late, I would be skeptical of them, you know, coming out with as many deluxe things. I'm surprised that they were, you know, for an example, you mentioned Son of Godzilla. They're so insistent on using the Toho transfers for these movies that are problematic, to say the least.
Yeah, that's true. And so to speak, these releases, as far as I know, they're are only allowed the Japanese transfer, but this transfer is again thanks to their allowance completely reconstructed, that the picture quality is truly improved from that. These releases are, I must say this, even if it sounds arrogant, but these are the best picture quality in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I must really say this, because the people who are doing these releases know what they are doing. And for example, for whatever reason, Toho Imagery has a kind of a green sting. I am not such a technical expert to know this, but I have one in my range of friends who know these technical aspects very well, and they can point out what they can do better with the respective movie editing software. Mm-hmm. And if I truly can compare these, then I must really say it is top-notch, and I can also understand that Toho sometimes is hesitant to say, why is Germany doing a better release than we do? Then you can ask it again, yeah, Toho, we're doing a better release, but why don't you?
Yes, yeah.
It's really, really strange. And this is the same situation like with Criterion and the Arrow box of Gamera. You would have wished that Arrow box would have had, would ha- this treatment would have been the same for Godzilla, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or not?
I mean, ideally, that's what I think a lot of people kind of expected from the Criterion Godzilla.
Yeah, and it happened and it's really strange that it never happened this way, and therefore I must really say, as much as I love Godzilla, Toho can be sometimes extremely complicated.
That's for sure. Basically every person I know who has worked with them has said that they have had considerable difficulties when it came to licensing. So that's as they say in Japanese, shogunai. So
yeah.
All right. So I think that's all of the topics that that I had in mind to chat about today. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up before we bring the episode to a close?
At the moment, no. I'm really grateful and thankful for the opportunity to join you finally. That it is. But for topics, at the moment, I have none other.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing your expertise. If we get some questions or commentary on the episode, I'm sure you'll be following along in the wherever it's posted. And everyone should check out Henning's writing in GFan. There's a surprising amount of it.
I made some articles. Especially check out, if you can, my articles on Moby Dick versus Godzilla. This is my personally most proud article after Shin Godzilla references.
All right. And on that note, I'll sign off and see y'all on the internet.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin.